It's Central Time. I'm Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Rob Ferret. You're with us here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Coming up on Central Time, we'll check in with regular science contributor Gemma Tarlak about some of the biggest headlines in science, from news about Pluto expected next month to a theory about why humans are able to cooperate with one another.
But first on ABC's This Week yesterday, Governor Scott Walker talked about same-sex marriage and possible responses to a U.S. Supreme Court ruling expected later this month.
If the Supreme Court establishes that same-sex marriage is a constitutional right, does that effectively end this as a political issue in this campaign?
Well, I personally believe that marriage is between one man and one woman. If the court decides that, the only next approach is for those who are supporters of marriage being defined as between one man and one woman, is ultimately to consider pursuing a constitutional amendment.
So you would favor a constitutional amendment that would say that states are allowed to ban same-sex marriage?
I believe that the decision on defining marriage should be left up to the states, yeah.
Steve Bragaw joins us now for more on a possible constitutional amendment. He's a visiting professor of politics at Washington and Lee University. Steve, thanks for joining us today.
Good afternoon, guys.
Well, if the U.S. Supreme Court decides, and there's a decision expected this month, that state bans, the remaining ones on same-sex marriage, are unconstitutional, would this federal constitutional amendment be the only remaining option for opponents?
Well, in theory, yeah. What they would have to do depends on how the court would actually define in the decision what would be the basis for that. And if it was defined in a very broad way, then probably the amendment process would be the only way to really try to overturn that.
Now, the issue at play in the courts, or one of the issues, and the one that Governor Walker is raising, has to do with the power of the states, on one hand, versus the power of federal government, the courts in this case, to override state laws. Is this the kind of thing we often see making its way up to the Supreme Court?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, this is totally exactly the type of thing you see in the wheelhouse, if you will, of the Supreme Court, because it gets right to the core issue of the traditional powers of the states, one of which is defining basic contracts, of which marriage is one of your basic forms of contract, versus the federal government's protection mandated through or guaranteed through the 14th Amendment to ensure the equal protection of the laws, not just of federal citizens, but of all persons in the United States, and specifically to make sure that the laws of the states are not violating the federal rights of people residing in the United States.
So if opponents of same-sex marriage decided to go this way, what would have to happen to get the ball rolling on a constitutional amendment?
Well, sure. It's actually the process is actually pretty simple. It's simple to describe. It's very hard to
actually
to navigate. Yeah. And so basically there's two tracks that you can go. The one track, which has never been successfully done, would be calling a constitutional convention. And what you would need for that would be a proposal that would go out, and the same proposal, the same language, would have to be go out and be ratified by two-thirds of the state legislatures, which would then be able to create a convention. And then the convention would not be bound to this particular type of question. There was a movement for this back in the 1980s to add a balanced budget amendment to the Constitution by going the convention route. And part of the language that is kind of cooked into this is that the convention wouldn't be bound to that particular issue. In fact, that's how the whole federal convention, which created the Constitution itself, went. It was called for a more specific thing, but decided it wasn't bound specifically by that and went more broadly. So the convention route has never occurred, although it could very well happen at some point. But the more common route, the way the Constitution has been ratified successfully the other 27 times, is you go through the Congress. And the president actually doesn't play a role in this. This is sort of one of these sort of basic misunderstandings that people think that this is something the president has to initiate. The president actually doesn't play a role in this. Basically what you have is a bill paper emerges in both houses of Congress that is calling for the same thing. It has to go through the ordinary committee process. And what then you need to have happen is that you have to get two-thirds majorities in each house for the same language for it to then go out to the states to be approved. And then each of the states can go one or two routes. They can either have it be ratified by the legislature, or they can call a special convention to approve that particular to approve the amendment, and then it has to be approved by three-quarters of the states. So the hurdles you would have to pass in the House, you'd have to get 290 people. In the Senate, you'd have to get 67. And then it would have to go out to the states, and you need 38 states to do that. So the process has only been successfully navigated 27 times. There were 33 amendments which made it out of this process. But there's been thousands, depending on how you want to count, there's over 10,000 amendments that have been proposed through the congressional route. In recent years, in the past couple of decades, there's been about 200 of these that have been introduced in either the House or the Senate, about 100 a year. So if you kind of think of it, they're not they're in session about a little over 100 days a year. So if you kind of think about it, it's almost one a day goes in. And so it's one of these things which sounds very rare, but it's actually quite common for these things to be introduced in Congress. But to get them out of Congress is very rare. It's quite an event.
Talking to Steve Braga, he's a political scientist looking at constitutional amendments following Governor Scott Walker, likely presidential candidate Scott Walker, mm-hmm. saying he'd look for a constitutional amendment on same-sex marriage. Some other Republican presidential contenders have done the same. So long odds as you lay it out there, Steve. Do you think when a presidential candidate is talking about this, the intent is more politics than something they expect to really happen down the road?
Oh, well, of course. I mean, well, or a way to kind of think about it is politics, that there's two sort of dimensions of going on. First of all, you're kind of in a way sending a message to the Supreme Court itself, because the court is sitting on the case, or the group of cases right now, the four cases from Kentucky, Michigan, Ohio, and Tennessee that they're expected to have a ruling on. But we know the justices well enough to know that they're not going to be swayed by what presidential candidates are saying in the press for the most part. But certainly what this is about, my reading of this, is definitely trying to define options for among the Republican candidates, but also kind of send a message on the Democratic side as well. So certainly the political dimension of this is trying to define the agenda for the election coming up next year, and then also with it to try to define your place within the candidate hierarchy. And by proposing a constitutional amendment, you're trying to send a sort of a note of gravity that you know, as president, you want to uphold the Constitution, and the way to do this is the Constitution provides a mechanism, even if it's a very difficult gauntlet to run. That's the way to do it. So there's really nothing hurt that's going to hurt you as a candidate saying something like that, but it's not something which is really going to have a practical short-term victory.
And Steve, if I can wrap up on this politics side, I've seen some observers say, okay, this is something that might help a Republican candidate in the primary process, might be something that haunts them in a runoff because the country has changed over the last 10 or 20 years on this issue. Is there a balancing act here?
Oh, absolutely. And it's not even just in the past 10 or 20 years. It's in the past 2 years. The last time the Supreme Court took one of these cases was in June 2013, and only 9 states in the District of Columbia allowed same-sex marriage. And now we're up to we're into the 30s now. There's been 36 states just in 2 years. Now, most of those have become judicially. Several have come through the legislative or voting process, and we all just saw what happened in Ireland. You think one of the last countries in the West which would vote for same-sex marriage by vote would be very Catholic Ireland, but they went ahead and did it. So the politics of this have definitely changed, not just in the past 20 years, heck, just in the past 2 years.
Steve, thanks a lot for spending time with us today.
Thank you.
That's Steve Braga. He's a visiting professor of politics at Washington and Lee University.